Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hi there. Hi there. Good morning to you. This is the Marcia. Marcia Ann, to be exact, coming to you from the Global Vision for Living Today show portal. And I'm so glad that you're here because guess what? Troubles are not over yet. Woes are not over yet. All kind of anxieties are not over yet. All kind of issues that man can't seem to solve. They're still staring us right in the face. But now I see you guys are interested in learning how to be an overcomer. An overcomer because without our Creator, we already know we can't do anything at all. Nothing is working out there in the world because the hand of the Creator God, who Psalm 83:18 says that people may know that thou, whose name art Jehovah, art the Most High God over all the earth. I'm interested in worshiping and serving and telling this God, I love you, the one that is the Most High. There's other gods, the scripture says that there are, but I'm not interested in that, and we know you're not. You're interested in the truth because our same scripture content tells us that there's only one Lord, one faith really to follow, and one baptism. And a baptism means to go under and to be born again. That's what it is. At least that's what my dad said it was. So, yay, welcome today to the Global Vision for Living Today show. And I see Colonel Dr. Harrison has joined us again today. I'm very happy about that. And you know why I'm happy? Because there's not most people that can stay on a show for over a year, 8 o'clock in the morning, PST time, and say, hey, good morning. You know, some that said good morning yesterday are not here today to enjoy a good morning. But thank you so much for joining us today. I call him Colonel Harrison. Now, our show topic today, man versus God. Man versus God. You know, someone is always after someone in a competitive fashion. Someone is always trying to get the one up on friends, family, foes, enemies. But right now, we got a personal situation here because this topic, man versus God, I don't know. It shows some kind of, it denotes and shows some kind of a conflict, some kind of a fight going on, some kind of a struggle, internal or external, some kind of a pushing and a pulling. But you know what? There's usually only one winner. And that's what we're concerned with this morning. Who is going to win in this fight for domination of man's spirit, world domination? And, of course, the excuse some have, well, you know what? I can do as I please. We want to talk to those, I want to do as I please, I can do as I please people. Because this man versus God denotes, as I just said seconds ago, a pushing and pulling. There's only going to be one winner as far as an outcome. And the one that will lose is going to lose sorely. So, Colonel Harrison, you know, this is a very interesting topic and really one that could shut down all conversation. Because if you talk about flesh and blood going up against an invisible God that says I'm from the beginning and the end, and oh, my God, and none can check my hand, that to me sounds very, very poignant. And it sounds like this God means business. And I don't know of any challenger that has come out as the top cat, the top winning person in a struggle against God. Why are people struggling against God? What is our problem? Why do we struggle against God?
Good morning, Dr. Capitino. Listening to the audience, it's good to be in your midst again. Happy New Year to those I haven't had an opportunity to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. The problem is that we, meaning mankind, male, female, keep resisting, keep rejecting, keep opposing, keep refusing, keep denying God. That is the problem. Nothing can be greater than that which has created them. Clearly, God is the creator of the heaven and the earth and the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon and everything that dwells therein within this planet Earth, which we know of. Don't know whether there's human habitation that exists and plant habitation that exists on other planets. But for certain, the man was created a little lower than angels to worship God, to serve God, to obey God, and to believe and trust in God so God could direct their path. So God is the creator, God Jehovah, Psalm 83:18, that man may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. Pause.
Yes, he certainly is the most high, but we have a problem here. Millions don't know anything about this God. They may have heard about him. Someone may have knocked on their door and mentioned his name. They might have ran across that name if even they could pronounce it in a magazine, but they don't know this God. I'm talking about millions of people. And I give you a good example. You know, I was over this past week having my cell phone checked because calls were being dropped. It would take me an hour to, you know, launch into my account on the phone. Give me a lot of trouble, and because, you know, I kind of sort of live alone, well, I do live alone, and, you know, I was worried that, you know, where I live, pitch black, you can't hardly see your hand in front of your face. I said, now, if I fall out, you know, something happened, you know, I hear someone trying to open these sliding glass doors, you know, I got to have a phone to call, so I went down there to have the phone checked. And when he said, well, okay, I'm going to need your password, I said, oh, I don't even know it. You know, I just turn it on and, you know, because it's already in there, then it's there. He said, well, I'm going to need a new one. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to give you the one that I normally use. And that the beginning of that password starts off with the name Jehovah. Now, this guy was about 23 or 24, but he was a wizard because people were coming in asking him all kind of questions about their phone, and he would just say it, and they would say, okay, thank you, you know, I'll see you next month, or something like that. But as he was working with me, I gave him that beginning that I wanted a password, and he says, what kind of name is that? And before I could answer him, he said, oh, no, that's okay. Here, I'm going to write it down. So he spelled that name J-O-H-O-V-A, and then he added something else to it. And when I looked at it, I was astonished because he was a genius. I mean, any question that came in, there were about four or five people, and he kept on laughing, talking, and then he got involved in a conversation I had with another man standing up in there talking about world events. He knew all about that. He knew all about Bitcoin. He knew all about this and that. A genius. But he did not know how to spell the name of Jehovah, nor did he know what it was. He said, what kind of name is that? So I'm saying all of this to show he's not an isolated case. Millions, if not, I'll just say hundreds of thousands. That's bad enough. Do not know the name of that creator God. They haven't heard of it. You know, they don't know what it is. And I sit there shocked because, you know, that's not, while it's, that name Jehovah is not a household name, but to people that have been alive more than 10 years old, I would guess, I could even go lower than that. They have heard of the name. Now, they might not know anything about him. That's why Jesus Christ said that they might know who I am. They have heard of me, you know, yeah, I think I heard that name 5 years ago or something like that. He said, I'm not interested in them. I'm not interested in them because that's not going to have that cause them to be born again. That is not going to do it. He said that they might know. When a person knows something, of course, you know, they're going to act on what they know. They might not act on what they hear, but what they know to be true, and that, of course, a different story, you know, that's going to be soul salvation. And what's wrong with us, Colonel Harrison? Something is wrong that not only do people not recognize that name, but how can you serve a God, a living creator, that you don't even know how to spell his name? Kind of give us the reasons for this lack of education.
The lack of education is caused because parents have not, in their homes, taught their children about the fact and the truth of the matter that there is a God. the basic teaching of right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil, is supposed to be done by the parents. Years gone by, they said old school, those who are up in age, and I would be in that category now. The parents back during the day, they took their children to church. They read the Bible. They read Bible stories to them. They shared different things to them. They told them who God was. They took them to Sunday school services and the whole nine yards. We've gotten away from that. We've become a materialistic society driven by technology, driven by greed, driven by lust, driven by a whole bunch of nonsense that destroys the body, destroys the soul, destroys the mind,
amen,
and destroys
amen
the person.
Imagine that. Oh, my God. Oh, that's
so,
a good point.
So we have gotten away from teaching our children who God is. And that's why God is not known by perhaps modern-day generational children, because it hasn't been taught to them. And so all that other foolishness and stuff that won't sustain them, won't keep them, won't help them live a good quality life and a pleasurable life is taught to them, which destroys the body, destroys the soul, and destroys the mind. So the family has broken down and stopped teaching who God is within the family. Then from the family, you used to go to the church. From the church, the kids were taught, and they would teach their children. It was a generational thing. We've gotten away from that, and so people don't know who God is because they were never told during infancy, during youth, who God was within their home by their mother and or father or either or.
Oh, my God. That is so true. You have hit it on the nail. I got shivers even hearing you speak because ultimately that sure is the truth. They don't know. They weren't taught, and the scripture admonition tells parents. Now, if you decide to be a parent on purpose, or by accident, that's on you. But you are told, we are told, parents are told to raise up, train up. And if you look that word up in Greek or in Hebrew, it will amaze you because people think, you know, use that word like, oh, I'm going to train my cat. You know, we can't really train a cat. But I'm going to train my dog to sniff out bombs and to leap over tall buildings in a single bound, da-di-da-da-da. But when parents, or two people come together and there's deceit that comes out, you know, as a child, and then he's left to in a nomadic existence. Yeah, get up and eat. You got some cold cereal on the table. Get in front of the TV. I'm going across the street. I'll be back when I get back. And there's the child, you know, just raising almost himself. That's a danger. That's a problem because that's the making of someone that you can't tell anything once he actually grows up, and that's a problem with these people rebelling against authority. They weren't trained to obey and do obeisance to authority and follow the laws and the guidelines and the voice of authority. So quite naturally, after they get about 12 or so, you can't do anything with them. Some are saying that they have kids as young as 7 and 8 that are drug runners and things like that in the Bronx all the way to L.A. So basically, that to me sounds like it is a problem. But now, why would parents not want to take on that kind of authority? I got one idea. The women have left the home. They're everywhere now. They want to do everything. They want to be seen. They want to be the top dog and the low cat in whatever they get involved in. What is wrong with people that are not raising their children? What are some of the distractions? What are some of the craziness of living that has people, especially women, I'm getting right on top of them because I'm a woman, that have decided, you know, I'm not being fulfilled, that I don't want to just wake up and look in his face, you know, him crying, I'm going to have to get up and cook and then wash dishes, and then that's the end of me. What is wrong? Even though we were created with a womb, so that tells a story there. But what has happened in our industrial world that women are using all manner of excuses to get out of the home, to put on either a fireman suit or some kind of a man suit and think they're going to run the land? There's only one God, one faith, and one baptism, one Lord. and his rulership has already been outlined in Scripture. But what is the problem? What is the problem that no one really wants to man that home?
Well, Doc, it goes back, I guess, to the women liberation generation. I believe in equal rights for women. I believe that women should have a right to vote. They should have a right to receive equal pay and be considered for a job for the work that they do compared to their male counterparts, so forth and so on. I believe in that. The years gone by, the place for the woman was in the home when she was married, had children, to raise the children. And the man was the so-called breadwinner. He was the one that went out and worked, even if he had to work more than one job, two or three jobs, to take care of his family. His wife took care of the children and trained those children up in the admonition of the Lord, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When you're old, he will not depart from him. But as we move forward into society and society became more advanced, women wanted to make more pay and they wanted to be competitive with men, and yet those that seemingly had children, if they're married, they seem not to mind having children, but they want the daycare or somebody else to take care of them. It's still the responsibility of the mother to interact with her child and teach the child certain principles that the daycare can't and does not teach them. And so that is what's happened. Women are chasing the dollar, chasing titles, chasing being equal to men. Men were meant to be the head and not the tail. The woman is the cohort. She is the partner. She is the mate. She's not the head. Amen. Man is the head. It's clear. It is written. Amen. I pause.
Amen. That sure is right. That most certainly is right. So it would appear that some kind of faulty thinking has entered into the framework of man and woman. Something happened that they got away psychologically, physically, mentally from their original purpose. And if we go back to 6,000 plus years, we already know what that original edict was given to man and woman. They were told to go ye therefore and multiply the earth. That was it. It wasn't to compete with jobs. You know, I'm not really, trying to create an issue. But I know, and I'm going to tell you right now, don't call me with no, Colonel Harris is a minister. Don't call me with no BS, okay? Don't send me no email. Don't send me nothing. And let me tell you why. You have a lot of women that are upset now, and the Catholic faith has decided to do something about it. They're now talking, I think they've already started the process of inducting women priests. Now, that's no precedent, of course, in the Word, which is really the guideline for anyone talking about God or some religious edict or order. You can only have one guideline. Your word is a pattern to my feet, but we see this is happening. And they show the picture of about 7 or 8 women, black women, white, Mexican, Japanese, you know, wearing these clerical collars, these white collars. I don't know how that would play out in the home. You have a religious man there preaching and teaching, you know, through the week, and then here she's sitting up there with the collar turned back. This is just my personal opinion. I don't care who follows it or not. But I'm saying, would that put anyone on a collision course with God when that is not something his son ordained? Paul had a lot to say about women in the church, women in the ministry. And, of course, God's son did not call one to follow him. That really is a prime example right there. But what is behind who? Let's not say what, but who is behind this push for women to have abandoned the home and has gone out to involve herself in a secular career, and then they look up 6 seconds later, the son's daughter's killed, involved in gangs, run down in the middle of the streets, handed with life sentences, and cold-blooded, sociopathic, psychedelic killers. What has happened? Can anyone say that as women, we have been on the right course to actually leave the homes behind, who, not what, but who is responsible and behind women, some of them abandoning their true purpose according to the God that created them?
Well, I believe the responsibility is because, you know, who's responsible for it? It's society. Society has created an environment, given women the impression that they're equal to men, equal in terms of being able to apply for a job, and if they qualify and the man qualifies, they should be considered equally as compared to the man, but not equally as the teachings in the Bible. Clearly, God created man first, and woman was made later, and was made to be a cohort or a mate and a supporter, assistant, encourager, and an uplifter of man, so that the man could do what he needed to do for his family. That's why there's an order. The Creator God has created an order, and we have gone against the order of creation, and that's why so many problems in the world. That's why so many trials and tribulation. That's why people don't know who God is and become radicalized, and all of that, listening to lies, listening to everything, but finding out who God is, and reading and listening and understanding and learning and internalizing the Word of God. So women have been misled that they can get out there in the world, do this, that, and the other. Yes, to a certain extent, but there are things that were not intended for women to do, for men to do, and women's primary responsibility, if their child, was to raise that child, train up that child in the way of the Lord. And so we have gotten away from that.
Yeah, that is very true. Are we paying a price? As we look out into the world, are we paying the price for making these decisions that have left the homes barren, have left the homes in danger of other individuals or other elements that might want to target and prey on youthful family members? How we put ourselves on a collision course with our Creator?
Yes, we have. We have until we turn back to the basic tenets and principles of that which the Creator has set forth, and it's written in various sacred books. It's written in the Septuagint. The Greek Bible is written in the Hebrew Bible. It's written in the standard Holy Bible. Until we turn back to those salient principles that say how God, the Creator, Jehovah, wants us to live, we will always be at odds with God, man versus God. God is God. God is the Creator. Man is subordinate to God. It never can be greater than that which is created. And so we got to realize what our place is, man, woman, child. Teach our children the way of the Lord so they can be blessed. And we need to come into understanding and obedience of God's holy words so we can be blessed. This life promised us 70, 80 years, then we transition. So why waste your years of your life not being obedient to the Creator? The Creator. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is very true. And many people shun that type of thinking because many have said, there ain't no God. You know, I've been praying to this God for all my life. He ain't done nothing. I ain't seen nothing about him in my life. Everything I hear is bad. He ain't doing nothing about all these problems going on. People talking about China, Russia, Germany going to overtake, you know, U.S., and in a minute they're going to block off food and needed medical supplies. You know, people don't realize that over 80% of all drugs are created in China, so they could shut any nation down. That is how crazy things are. People are saying, what is he doing about that? He ain't done nothing. He ain't doing nothing. I don't see what he's done. People still dying. And they've been telling me since I was a kid, oh, you know, you're going to be raptured in the air. And there's, of course, no evidence. But all of that is what is going on. What has happened? They say all these things, as I guess maybe like a smokescreen is to not to change their ways, but Is there scripture or anything in the Bible that says, oh man, change thy ways? Can you think of any scripture that you can point to that says that man, not God, because we know man versus God here is our topic, but is there any scriptural admonition to people to back off, back down, stand down, and get out of God's way? We don't want to become an enemy of God, but, you know, as James said, that can happen. Is there any scripture that comes to mind to help us out as listeners?
Yes, yes, Dr. Capitino. I think I might have uttered this scripture a few months ago last year. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, written by King Solomon, who was the son of King David. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fearing God is a reverence for God, which means respect for God. The other fear of God is for God's wrath. That's the whole duty of man, thus woman. Fear God and keep his commandments, and we will live a blessed life in this life.
Okay, fear God. Give us some ways a person can show God that he's feared.
Paying reverence to God, find out who God is, then pay respect to God, pay reverence to God, abide by God's holy words, written in the Bible, Septuagint, the Hebrew Bible, a standard Bible, whatever, being obedient, applying God's holy words to our individual lives, so that it becomes a part of us, so we can be an example for other people as to how they should live their lives within our family, outside of our family, and then going to the place where God is, the church, and worship God, the church of God, and worship God. And therefore, we become more inclined to be obedient to God. And those are the things that I put forth for consideration.
Okay, I see some juggling here on this dashboard. Now, you mentioned worship God. Okay, and you mentioned a place. Now, I'm getting some feedback here. How would a person know that the church that they are interested in going or have been going is the true church of God? Well, I think we have to be very careful on that, because there's over 200 and some odd different religions just practiced in America alone. That is a lot. So where are you directing individuals to go if you just said they have to worship God? Worship him where? What would be the prerequisite for someone running into a church thinking with limited knowledge about him, not going by, well, I heard that from grandma? We're not talking about that here. How would you direct someone to a church to worship God if that would be one of the prerequisites? And I'm very interested in that myself.
It goes back to the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
So
the church has to teach that there's one true and living God. The church has to teach that we individuals have to have belief, faith, and trust in God. The church has to also advocate that baptism is part of the belief and trust and worshiping God, because baptism seals us into a relationship with God until the day of our redemption. The day of our redemption is the day of our transition. So one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Without regard to the denomination, church teach that, it's a church of God. Doesn't teach that, it's not a church of God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
So, okay, you guys, so let's not get it so much, you know what, I'm going to fight God, because that's not going to happen. You're going to lose. You've already lost even thinking something like that. God bless you all. Thank you again for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. And if you haven't heard anything today, you won't hear anything all year. Thank you, Colonel Harrison, for being with us. Colonel Harrison is a platform minister, presiding floor minister of the International Platform for Peace, ESA Division. You can contact him at www.ipforpeace.org. See you next Saturday, same time, same place. Have a great weekend.